the Lord.
Amen. We just really are so thankful that we got to spend the time that we did with Sister Pansy.
Yes.
And some of us even remember her husband, precious brother, too. So with that, I want to read some opening scriptures in Ecclesiastes, and the musicians can go ahead and take their seats now. Sorry to keep you too long. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Take this memorial service and move it right on into what we want to speak on this morning about. Title this being Led by the Spirit.
Amen.
I believe Sister Pansy was. Yes. And while we're turning there, I want to, as Brother Daniel greeted Thomas, I recognize him when he came in the door. There is his face, and so welcome among us. We're just common folk, yes, of the Lord, and so I want everybody to come and just be able to sit and hear the word of God and just worship and enter in and let the Lord touch your life. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season. How many knows things go through cycles? We've talked about that recently. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? And I want to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. We read this the other day, I believe, but we'll read this and we'll pray and then let you be seated. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. This is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou, that any time you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And then said Jesus to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have spoken here this morning about our precious Sister Pansy, who's now with you, Lord, we just want to give you a thank you, a great thanks this morning for allowing us to spend time with our sister and to be able to see the character that you had molded in her. We know, Lord, that she was born as a sinner just like the rest of us, but God, you had done a work in her life and made her such a sweet person, full of faith and full of character. Lord, the kind of character that would touch any life if they would just let it. We want to thank you for that this morning, Lord, and we just look forward to being able to spend our time with our sister when we get there. We know she's looking for us, and perhaps she's greeting all the different ones that had passed on, and so, Lord, we just want to just give you a thankfulness this morning for the things that you allowed us to partake and just give honor, a proper honor to our sister who's now gone to be with you. We ask, God, this morning that as we look into your word, Lord, you'll speak to every heart out of these things. God, may we understand that our time here on this earth is limited. And Lord, we are mortals. We have to leave someday. And I pray, God, this morning you'll speak to every heart, and may they have the reality of knowing that each moment counts, because we don't know when we leave. We don't know when that time comes. But we ask, God, you'd bless each one this morning with your word. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. As you read in the scriptures, there is a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up. There's a time for all of these things. And, you know, many of those things, like, you know, we didn't control when we come here, and we don't necessarily control when we leave. But there's many of those things that you know, how do you know? How do you know when to do these things? How do you know when to speak and when not to speak? Or how to plan or try to build? Or how do you know when to try to change jobs? Right. How do you know these things? Right? And so, because there is a time. There's a time, there's a right time for everything, and there's a wrong time. Yeah. Right? If there's a correct time or something, then all other time is not the correct time. Yeah. Right? And so in the scriptures there, and of course, there that last verse there is, you know, what profit does a person have in what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying that is as we get through this morning, it all of our efforts, there's no profit in it for us. Mm-hmm. Oh, you might go and get a job, have a house and all that, but what good does it do a person if they gain the whole world by their efforts?
Yeah.
And lose their soul?
That's right. Good.
The thing that matters is not something you can secure for yourself.
Right.
It has to be secured by God.
Right.
And so we want to talk about these things this morning. You know, how do we know when to make these decisions? How to do things that are right? You know, as humans, we have our own will. You know, Jesus was God in flesh. He was all God, but he was all flesh.
Yeah.
Right.
Because God can do that, right? God can be all of that in one. But even Jesus, who is God in flesh, the Word of God made flesh, even Jesus as a man and as an example for you and I, because he knew what we would be up against, as a man in flesh, he got hungry and he was tempted and he suffered. And as we read, he was tempted by the devil. And so, even in Gethsemane, when it was time for him to be crucified, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will." So you see, Jesus had a will, and he in a human form, he didn't want to have to pay that price. Right?
Yeah.
Not my will, Father, but thine. And of course, it was the Father's will that he walked to Calvary. But as a human, he didn't want to do those things, but he was led.
Right.
Right? He was led to do those things. And so, as Christians, we are to be led by the Spirit of God. And as you see, you know, maybe Jesus didn't want to be led into the wilderness. And led to the place where he didn't eat or anything like that for 40 days and 40 nights. And then for the devil to come, and right when he was weak and he was hungry, then to have to deal with the devil coming right there and throwing all this stuff at him.
Yeah.
As a human, that was a trial.
Sure.
You know, we just don't forget that was a trial that he went through. And those things came to him, and, you know, But what I'm trying to get there is that sometimes the Lord would lead you into places you don't want to go.
Right.
Places that's not going to be comfortable for you. But you know that anytime God does something like that, there is a purpose and much blessings that follow that when you follow his leading.
Right.
God never leads somebody wrong. He can't. And so you understand that. And so we have a will. And we as Christians who've been Christians for a while, we've come to understand. Listen, I've been where sinners out there in the world, and I'm speaking to those who are tuning in. I've been out there. I know what it's like to be a sinner and run in the excess of the world. And I know what it's like to be over here serving God and have the love of God in your heart. And I'm telling you, chasing after the things of the world is not where it's at.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not. And we as Christians, we found out after being a Christian for a while that any time we insist on following our will instead of letting God lead us, it brings sorrow, it brings troubles to our own life, and many times destroys other lives.
Right.
That's right. And so we want to be led by the Spirit. And it's only when we're led by the Spirit that always goes well. You say, well, it might have been trials, yes, but it always comes out with God doing something there. And so we understand that Jesus is and was the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you're a lion as a conqueror. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't walk up and mess with a lion. He's boss. He's king of the jungle. Right? And the scripture lets us know that Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But as we see in the opening of the seals, when after all of history, God doing everything he's doing through all history in the Old Testament and the New Testament in seven church ages, and he gets down here to the end, and it's time for him to call the names of those who are on the book of life. It's time for a body change for those that are living, and time for the resurrection of those that have gone on, and their names have to be on that book of life.
Right.
And so, it comes time for that book to be opened. God doesn't need that book to be open for himself. He knows what's on it.
Right.
That book is to be open for us.
Yeah.
So it's a revelation from his word that comes to us that we which are alive and remain, something happens in our walk with God and we begin to realize who we are. And my whole point there is that in order for that book to be open, you remember the scriptures, no one was found worthy to open it. Mm-hmm. Right? And John wept. Because nobody in heaven and nobody in earth was found worthy to open it. And so then one of the elders said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals, so that we can be redeemed.
Right.
Right? The Lion of the tribe. And John turned to look, and when he looked, thinking he was going to see a lion, it was a lamb that had been slain. So we understand Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he did not purchase our redemption by roaring out and being aggressive like a lion would do. He won our redemption by being the Lamb of God that was slain for us. He was a bloody lamb.
Right.
That's how he won victory.
Right.
And so because of that, as the scripture said, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brother, sister, there's a lot of ways to die, but I'm pretty sure you don't want to die on the cross. How terrible that is.
Yeah.
But the scripture said he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore, because of that, God has exalted him higher than any name, giving him a name above all names, right?
Yeah.
And that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to Jesus Christ that he is Lord. Because he didn't go out as a lion, he went out as a lamb.
All right.
Now, he was our example. And so, Jesus as a man, what you have to understand that Jesus as a man in flesh who had to sleep, he was asleep in the bottom of the boat. History even tells you, some of the writings, that he'd have headaches. I mean, they even told him, said, well, you're a man not 50 years old. They could see that he was aging in his flesh. In his flesh, he was just like us, because he had to be.
Yeah.
To be in order to be a kinsman redeemer for us, he had to be just like us. And the scripture said he was tempted and tested in all points like we. And so he knows how to help us through trials and temptation, because he's been there. He's done. He knows. He knows what it's like for the devil to come to him and try and get him to lust after a woman. He knows what it's like to see money laying there and think, well, I could get that. He knows what it. He knows what that temptation was. See, I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying he knows how that works, and he knew how to overcome that, and so he knows how to help us overcome those things.
Right.
But only if you let him.
Yeah.
Right? He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you.
Right.
You have to let him in as he knocks at the door of your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. And so just as a man... Well, Jesus had a will. He didn't want to go to Calvary and so forth, but he had to be led. And we see in the scriptures there when he was baptized that the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. A dove is a very timid bird. It's a very special bird. They don't eat rotten meat. They can't eat the filth of the world. They have a very just a special diet that they only certain things they can eat. They're very, very. They scare real easy. There's a lot of typology of what how the Holy Spirit is typed by a dove. But in the scriptures, God wants us to know that here's the Son of God. Here's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Here's the one that's going to buy redemption for the entire earth and for every age.
Yeah.
Here he is. How's he going to do it? And it's when a dove comes down and lights upon him and leads him into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested and tried by Satan. And so as our prophet was showing us and spoke about this, the dove leading the lamb. Brother Ram said it this way. He said, what if Jesus would have had, or maybe you, the nature of a wolf?
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit, a dove, would try to come down and rest upon a wolf. It wouldn't work because the wolf would, the dove couldn't lead nothing. The dove would have to fly away. Sometimes we wonder, well, God, why aren't you working in my life? Well, it's because you growl at him when he tries to deal with you.
Right?
See, there's only a certain nature that he can lead.
Yeah.
And if we don't present that nature to him, there's not much he can do in your life in form of leading because
right.
you won't let him.
Right?
Right? He's a gentleman. He's not going to rape you.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
See, the devil will every which way he can,
but
not Jesus Christ.
So there,
that nature has to be there. But what we want to show you this morning is that all these things, even the Son of God, had to be led. The Word made flesh, and the Word which could not fail, but in flesh form, he had to have that spirit leadership. He had to spend time in prayer. You read it. He had to spend time in prayer. He had to get alone away from the people and pray and get into the presence of the Spirit of God and let the Spirit quicken the Word that he was. Because the Spirit lives in the Word, right? He has to quicken them. And so that had to happen there. And so that was our example for us to see that. See, if Jesus only was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, well, then when they tried to come to the Garden of Gethsemane and they were going to take him, he'd have tore him to pieces. He'd have spoke word. Angels would have come from heaven, destroyed the whole thing, and he'd have destroyed them all, and we'd all be going, praise God. Yeah. But we're still sinners because nothing died for us. He couldn't purchase our redemption as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He had to be a lamb. And the way that lion became the lamb was by the Spirit moving upon him and leading him.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it works. And those who've been Christians for a while, you know this is how it works in your life. When you resist the Spirit leadership, it winds up in disaster. Right? Though he takes us down roads sometimes we don't want to go. But it always comes out good. When we let him lead us. Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But you know, in his ministry, he played many parts. Jesus was a prophet. He was a pastor. He played the part of an evangelist. He played the part of a deacon. How many knows that? I'll read just where Brother Brown talks about that. I have it here. Church order. He's talking, he says, Jesus was good-natured too, but when it comes time to say things, it's written, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You remember where Jesus went in there, he platted a rope of, and drove them out.
Right.
This meek Son of God who's here, he drove them out.
Yeah.
He didn't have, he was tough. And so he said Jesus was taking the part of a deacon. Because a deacon is a policeman of the house of God, right?
Okay.
And Brother Tim's our deacon, and I've seen him stand up where he needed to. And he's got the ability to do it. Amen. And so when it comes to be a part of the pastor, He was speaking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and he said, "You're leaders of the blind." See, he was taking a part as a pastor. And when they told it, when he told them what was going on, he took the part of a prophet. And when they required that there must be tribute paid, he took the part of a trustee. Peter, go down and cast a hook, and the fish that comes up, take the money out of the fish's mouth and go pay the tribute, pay the debts. Said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar. And God, to God what's God. See, he was both pastor, prophet, trustee, deacon. And so the point is that Jesus, he played all kinds of parts. But how would he know? Because there are times when Jesus didn't drive them out, didn't deal with people with a whip. There were some times where they whipped him. Right? And so even Jesus in himself, to play the different parts and to do the different parts at different times, you understand that it was by Holy Spirit leadership of when to speak, when not to speak.
Right.
When to move, when not to move. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the common thread of this morning that I want you to see here. And so there was a time to act and there was a time not to act. So Jesus was showing us even he, the Word made flesh, had to be led by the Spirit. Spend time in prayer. Go to church. Mm-hmm. Jesus went to church. Right? Jesus in himself, now we look at him and we're saying, oh, he's all in all. He's the perfect one. And he is. But when he was in flesh, in that mode, he could not exalt himself.
Right?
Right? You hear me say it all the time. If you get promotion, it's not you doing it.
Right.
It's higher power than you that draws you higher. Right? And if it's done that way, then you know it's right. And you don't have to worry about it when it's done that way. And so Jesus, as a human, did not exalt himself. He didn't try to make a big name for himself. The scripture said you wouldn't hear his voice crying in the street. A smoking flax he didn't quench. Right? He wasn't trying to make a big name for himself. So you understand that. And yet, he was the Son of God purchasing the redemption of the world, but doing it through humility. And so even Jesus in that mode said, when they came to him, "Good master," he's like, "Why are you calling me good? Look who he was." If there was anybody that could say, "Yeah, you're right. I am good. Because I'm the one." But he didn't. He was our example. He did not do that. They said, "Good master." He said, "Why call me good? There's none good but one, God." Let me put it this way. I'm not good. The one that's good is the one that sent me. The one who's leading me. Follow me? The one who's leading me, causing me to do what I'm, that's the one. I can't take credit for nothing. Because if like Paul said, well, what do you have that you got in yourself? Well, there's nothing, right? There's nothing we got in ourselves. But he said, but if you got it in yourself, then why are you glorying, right? If you didn't get it in yourself, then it obviously was given to you. And if it was given to you, why are you glorying as though you had it in yourself? That's, right? And so if the breath I have that I breathe, I didn't get in my own self, then I can't boast about it.
Right.
If I have the ability to get up out of bed in the morning, I didn't cause that.
Right.
God did. Right. I mean, we're here to serve him. That's why are we here? Where did we come from?
Right.
We're here because God sent us here. And I have nothing to glory in it except the fact that he sent me, and all honor I give is to him, and everything I want to do under his leadership and under his spiritual guidance.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jesus showed us even that even though he had a will, his will did not trump the Spirit of God and the will of God.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He said, there's no one good except the one. And sometimes Jesus had to speak. He was God in flesh. And sometimes he would speak first person. And sometimes he spoke as second person.
Right.
And one of those, I've rehearsed it many times over the years. Jesus said to the Pharisees, Now, they were believing in the law of Moses, and the law of Moses was word that God had given to Moses to write, and the Pharisees was believing in the law of Moses, and Jesus was that word. And Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, he said, isn't it written in your law, and it was the word of God he was talking about, isn't it written in your law that I said, and he quoted it. Why? Because he was that word of God. In the very next sentence, he said, and if he said such and such. So first person for a moment, then stepped out, and now he's second person. But he never tried to glorify himself.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come on a person, and it'll be God speaking. But as soon as that's over with, they're just a normal person. And we have to understand that. And not try to say, well, hey, you see me. I preached a good sermon. I prophesied. I got it right. We have no, there is no glory. It's all to him. We're glad that God moves upon us. We want that. It must be, or we're not happy if he isn't. But all glory goes to him. And when our bodies change, and we're there in his presence where Sister Pansy is now, then all the blessings and all the honor will be given out there that belongs to us. And so, even the Son of God had to be led by the Spirit. A real Son of God, I've always said this in the workplace, a person that knows what they're doing. You don't have to get bent out of shape if somebody disagrees with you. Because
right.
You know exactly where you stand. Right. And a real Son of God or daughter of God does not have to get bent out of shape. You don't have to raise your voice if somebody says, I don't believe the word says that. You don't have to get bent out of shape. You know.
Right.
You know right where you stand, right? Not from a human intellect, but God has revealed it and showed it in supernatural ways to you that his word is right.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it, right? When somebody starts getting all, it's because they're getting concerned and they feel inferior, and they gotta raise their voice to try to overcome. Right? I gotta go get somebody else stand with me to get my cause. I see that in the workplace, you know, somebody don't like something and they gotta go and they gotta spread all this and get a whole bunch of people so they can try and get their way. It's because they're insecure. If they knew where they stood, they wouldn't have to do that. See? And so Jesus didn't. He didn't have to do it. He just simply humbly walked with God, knowing it was all going to come out just exactly as long as he was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The dove leading the lamb, the dove leading the lion of the tribe of Judah, right? The dove leading pastor, deacon, trustee, as Jesus was all those, right? The Holy Spirit dove leading every person, him as an example, in our actions daily. Some days it's aggressive for some reason, and some days it's not. Most days it won't be. Right? Amen. So even Jesus gave us that example. And we're going to change the corner here just a little bit. Still topic. We know in the scriptures how that in the Garden of Eden, when God wanted man to live there in Eden, never die, everything in Eden was right there. Man sinned. God drove him out of the Garden of Eden. You have to realize Eden was where the presence of God was, right? Because God had come down there and they would have fellowship there. He'd drive them out from the presence there, and the scripture said he placed cherubims, which is a certain type of angel. He placed cherubims there to keep man from having access. And I'll say it this way, because they had eternal, they were going to live in eternity. But as sinners, God can't let you live with eternal life. So he had to push man out, and he placed these cherubims there to keep man from coming back into the place of eternal life, coming back into the presence of God, because there's no way you as a sinner can enjoy that. So he has these cherubims there to keep it, and it said they had flaming swords turning in every direction so man couldn't get there. And that sounds terrible, but that was the start of how God was showing how he was going to bring this plan of redemption forth. Okay? And so those cherubims, that's all it told us, they were cherubims. And so those cherubims were there, and they were guards to the mercy seat. They were guards to the presence of God. They were guards to make sure that the wrong person, the wrong thing, could not come in and have access to eternal life or to the presence of God, right? And that's what they were there. They were guards to the mercy seat. Like we know that the Ark of the Covenant, the lid that went on top of the Ark is called the mercy seat. And on top of it had the two cherubims with their wings over the top, right? And the presence of God, Scripture said he'd come down and he'd meet with the people right there from between those cherubims. That's where the presence of God was. And those cherubims were there overshadowing guards to that,
right?
So you see it in the Garden of Eden. You see it on the Ark of the Covenant. You see it with the children of Israel. God had them in 12 tribes. And then when they would march, and they had a certain marching tribal order as they would march, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had the tabernacle where they, when God would stop, the pillar of fire would stop moving, and they'd build the tabernacle, and they'd put the Ark in there. That was the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so all the tribes would encamp around that tabernacle, and there were 12 tribes, so there'd be three tribes on four sides. And so on the east side, those three tribes, there was a certain banner that they'd hold up on the east side, and that banner had a picture of a lion on it. And on the west side, the banner that those tribes held was an ox or a calf, right? On the south side, it was a banner that had a man. And on the north side, it was an eagle, okay? And I say that because in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel sees the cherubims, they had four faces, and the faces that these cherubims had was lion, ox, man, and eagle. And so you know the cherubims and what has to do with the mercy seat and the guards of the mercy seat is lion, ox, man, and eagle.
Right.
And so God was showing throughout history there that starting from the very beginning, he was going to be protecting the way of life and the tree of life and eternal life. It was going to be guarded by cherubims, or it was going to be guarded by lion, ox, man, and eagle, guarded by the nature of a lion, the nature of an ox, the nature of a man, and the nature of an eagle.
Right.
All right, so God was showing it. I know for most of you know this, but for some you might not. And so God was showing all through the Bible. This is not just God, just whatever happens through history. No, God's got a plan. He's unfolding this thing. He knows exactly where he's taking us. He knows exactly how to bring that redemption here at the end time. How to call those names in that book of life. How to quicken our body. He knows exactly how to do it. And he's doing it through the unfolding of lion, ox, man, and eagle.
Right.
So he was showing that in there in that tabernacle in the wilderness, that as they went along to keep enemies from coming in there and getting access to God, those enemies would have to go through either a lion, an ox, or man, or eagle. We come all the way forward and we find out, in order for us to understand what's going on in the book of Acts, you got to read and go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
Guess what the four symbols of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were? Mm-hmm. Lion, ox, man, and eagle.
Right?
So now God is showing throughout history mm-hmm. how you're going to get saved. You have to go through them cherubims to get to eternal life. You can't get there unless you go. And when he comes along and Jesus has his ministry and he calls his disciples, he has four disciples that writes the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's their testimony that we listen to and we read that shows us that we must repent. And when we go through what they tell us, when we obey Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we do what they tell us, then we get the access to the Holy Spirit that came in the book of Acts. Then you understand? Well, then now we have access to that presence of God. And so those cherubims that was keeping the way of the tree of life, whereas they were first trying to keep man out from it, now they're trying to get man in, but you have to come through them. Right? You can't just come in as anybody. You have to be vetted by them.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when we get all the way over here, we find out when God gets ready to open the seals, right? When John sees this, and there were four beasts. Four beasts. Read it in Revelation. These four living creatures. One was like a lion. First one like a lion. One like an ox. Man and eagle. Flying eagle. And so when the first seal opened, that first beast, which would have been the one that had the face of a lion or like a lion, that first one was the one and introduced that first seal and that first horse rider going forth in deception. And I won't try and get into all that because it would stretch it out way too long. But you understand, God used that first beast to show us what was behind the Antichrist riding under a white horse, a power, a strength. In the early church, how they fell away and a false church system rose up. And here at the end, when God says, I'm ready to call the names. I'm ready to rapture my people. I'm ready to take my ones that have gone on and give them a body change and raise them up out of the dead and gather them together. But I have to read their names. I have to reveal the names on the book. And before I can do that, I have to open those seals. And as the Lamb is opening those seals, He uses the lion to do it, the ox to do it, the man to do it, and the eagle to do it. Right? God clearly showing all through ages how He's bringing this thing to pass. So right here at the end, we don't have to question, is this of God or not? We've seen it. We see God has shown us. We are in that last stage, which is the eagle. Amen. So we understand that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. Look at their nature. Matthew, you know, Mark. Matthew was the lion. Mark was the ox, the calf. Luke was the physician. He was a smart man, so he was the intellect of a man. That was the man. And Apostle John was the eagle. Where all the other disciples, you know, they'd say, yeah, Jesus, he's on the shore of Galilee, you know, and Herod and all this. Not John. He opened his up and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God.
Right.
John had a spiritual revelation. The reason why I say this is because God likens himself to an eagle, and his prophets as eagle, and a prophetic time as eagles or eaglets, right? The people that believe it. And so that last stage of this redemption unfolding is a prophet, a prophetic, where insight and the thoughts and understanding of God now comes down. And so you understand the lion is earthbound. The ox is earthbound. Man is earthbound, but eagles aren't. Lion, ox, man, they feed their young milk, but not eagles. Eagles feed theirs meat. And you know the scripture said, full meat is strong word of God. So you understand that as the ages, throughout the ages, as these seals was being opened, and we get down to the end time, only in this last stage and the anointing that comes upon the church of a flying eagle, in this day, the understanding, the meat of the word is way beyond any other ages. That's why denominations, they're aggravated because you come forth with something great and powerful, and they won't touch it, but they just have to understand God's program. It's time for these things to be revealed.
Right.
And just go with it. What? Be led. Be led. Let God lead you into the unfolding of the word underneath the eagle anointing. And so we see all through the ages. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let me make it clear to you. From the time that his disciples were here 2,000 years ago to now, those four anointings was on the church. Lion, that early church went out and they went out and spread the gospel and they were aggressive. Nobody could stop them. But after a while, they had to die. As an ox is a beast of sacrifice. They had to die as a martyr. So we had the Dark Ages. We came out of the Dark Ages with Luther, Martin Luther, and John Wesley, with a Reformation just strictly on their ability to challenge the Catholic Church with their understanding, intellect only. Not prophetic, nothing prophetic at all. God showing. He knows the time to live. Time to die, a time to raise up, a time to sit down, a time to speak, a time not to speak. God knows. We don't. Matthew didn't know. Mark didn't know. Luke, John, they didn't know. I could keep saying, how do you know when? We don't know. That's the whole thing. We don't know. That's why we must be led by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And just to surrender to Him.
Right.
As I think we heard even in song service, right? Just to be, they didn't know. And so, the early church, they didn't know they were under the anointing of a lion of the tribe of Judah. They didn't know. When those Christians were being martyred, they had an anointing come on them and they wanted to give their lives. Why? Because they were now an ox. When Luther rose up, he got stirred up about all the Catholic stuff and he withstood it. He didn't know what was going on. He just knew that he was being led. Something was causing him to act this way, and it was God doing it.
Right.
Not God as a lion or ox, but as a man. Mm-hmm. So when we get here to the end time, we expect God to conquer and give us victory over things in our day under a lion or an ox or a man. It won't work when it's eagle time.
Right.
It will not work when it's eagle time. We understand that. That as God, you know, when the children of Israel were moving, the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire would move, and they would their camp would move. And when the pillar of fire would stop, they'd have to stop. They could say, no, we want to go another 4 or 5 miles today. No, if the Holy Spirit, if the pillar of fire stopped, they had to stop. Well, they get up the next morning, the pillar of fire starts moving. They're like, no, we don't. We want to rest another day. No, you had to move. And my whole point is you've got to move with God when He moves. And if you don't, that's you following your will, and it'll end up in tragedy. Another way to look at it is through the scriptures, the 7 lampstands. And those 7 lamps across there, menorah, and those are a type of the 7 church ages from Apostle Paul all the way to our day. There's 7 ages. Each one of them was a fire. Each one was a lamp. And in the Old Testament, they had to light that with a certain fire, and they couldn't light it with a strange fire. The same fire that started the first lamp had to carry on through the rest. And we find out the sum of Aaron's sons, I think it was, the scripture said strange fire. And when they did, God slew them. And the whole point is that the same Holy Ghost that fell in the days of the apostles and in days of Apostle Paul, that's the same Holy Ghost that has to be throughout all 7 ages. And here we are in this day. It must be the same Holy Ghost, same message that started out in the days of Paul. And if we come along and add something else in there, it's strange fire, and that's where the church dies. When you try to add something besides the Holy Spirit, God will never quicken something contrary to His own word. How did those churches, how did they know to be oxes or men in the intellect? They didn't know. They were just led. We're the ones at the end time able to look back and see what it was. We now see it was the lion, ox, man, eagle. This is God showing those cherubims, God showing how He was bringing redemption, protecting. You know, and so when those seals are open, guess what's happening? Opening the seals, accessing eternal life. The names on the book of life. Right? Cherubims protecting living creatures. So you see, God knows how to conquer. He knows how to die. He knows how to challenge with intellect. He knows how to fly away in eagle time. He knows how to bring rapture. And He knows when to put these anointings into His church. We can see that He did. This last age was started off by William Branham, who we now know was a prophet. He was an eagle. He was an eagle in God's economy. He was an eagle because he had a prophetic ministry. It's undeniable. People can say whatever they want, but you and I, we know people personally. You know that you know they come. Nobody there knows them, and he calls them out and tells them who they are and what they were doing yesterday, because he was a true prophet.
Right.
There's that. You know, Satan sends all this smoke screen of all these false things like that to try and trick it up. But the real thing, you have to have a real dollar before you can have a bogus dollar, right?
Right.
You can't have a fake dollar, a fake something on if there's no real somewhere to copy it off of. Right? And so Satan would do that. But I'm saying just look at Bible credentials and test it. Try it. See it. But be honest about it. Check it with the Word, not your local newspaper so much. You understand? But is it right? Is the Word? Is it the continuity? And I'm just saying, this last, as we come out of the man age and God's ready to rapture his people, he kicked off an age by a prophet that had that kind of ministry, and therefore the entire people of this age following underneath that prophetic ministry, they become eagles with wings, flying eagles. Right? You understand that? And so, this redemptive thing unfolding. And so, how did he know how to do these things? He didn't know. He was just being led. He didn't know where this was going. You know his life. It's on tape. You can listen to it. He didn't know where God was taking him, but he was following that leadership. And that leadership of following the Holy Spirit in his life brought us an absolutely awesome unfolding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. By one man continuing to follow God, even when all the religious world was heavy on him to not do it.
Right.
But you see, he had the credentials and they knew it. They couldn't shut him down. As I said, it took somebody with that kind of powerful ministry to bring correction to this age. Of course, they wouldn't receive it, but I did. Praise God, we've listened to it, right? It took that, but he was an eagle. And so, how did he know to do that? He didn't know. He was being led by the dove, by spiritual leadership. And so, there were times in Brother Branham's ministry, he, as an eagle, you know, an eagle is a ripper with the beak. An eagle's not somebody to mess with. If you're a rabbit, you're in trouble. If you're a goat, you're in trouble. Hey, that's our answer, sweetie. We need some eagles. We need some eagles with the house. So, but I'm saying a 14-foot wingspan and a cloth, they got a ratchet in there, and when they clamp down, they're not having to squeeze. It locks. And they're relaxed. And they have that beak that's hit, and so you don't walk up to them and tell them to be a sacrifice. You follow me? So a prophet has the kind of ministry. He can rip with a beak. He can fly higher than anybody, see further. Nobody can follow him. And he won't eat rotten food. He won't eat messages and preaching from bygone days. He's got to have fresh kill of the word. And brother, sister, he'll get down to business with God and he'll kill that word. He'll kill that and get that word today. You understand? I say kill the word, but he'll kill that meat. You see? And so here's Brother Branham, and he had that kind of ministry, and we know it. The testimonies are there. You can't deny it. That a whole group of people come into service, and this happened lots of times, things like this. A whole row of people in service, and he's trying to pray for somebody that's got epilepsy, and there's a row of people who refuse to be reverent. They refuse to bow their head, and he prays, and he says, God, be merciful. Don't let them people back there keep this person from receiving their healing. And that epileptic spirit went out of that person, and went, and the whole row of people that was resisting fell into epileptic fits and were carried out. These things happened. The world can say whatever they want, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. These things happen, and we know they happen. It wasn't a put-on. It's real. What was it? So there was that river with a beak. You're not going to defy God. But then there was other times, like when a couple was sitting on the front, and they were kissing and making out, and he's preaching. And he says, don't do that. And they keep doing it anyway. Right? They keep doing it anyway. And he had been told that he was going to be challenged with a test. A great test was coming. And here's Elijah the prophet. And you know Elijah in the Bible could call fire down on people when they come at him. And those that were around Brother Branham in this ministry knew he had that kind of ministry. They had seen these people drop dead and things like that. And so then the ones that were in that service there, they saw that happening. Some of the testimonies when he looked over, saw him do it again, and people said, oh God, don't let him kill him. Because they knew what he spoke would happen. You hear testimonies where some people had some friends that had something wrong, And Brother Branham, in that gift, he said, "It's thus saith the Lord, they'll be healed." And he ran to him and they said, "He's never been wrong. He's never been wrong. He just told you, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to die. We've seen it. He's never been wrong." Why? Because this is something God sent to straighten out the church world. He sent that for a purpose. An eagle who could rip with a beak. But here he was, and he said, "I forgive you." What happened? That wasn't an eagle. That wasn't a ripper with a beak. How did Brother Brown know to do that? Other times people were carried out because they resisted. But here's a time merciful. How did he know? By being led by the Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. That was the only thing. You know, there was a man came to him under trickery and had Brother Branham sign away his tent. And he knew he was doing it.
Right.
And let the man do it. You heard, I think it might have been Brother Biscoll talking about when they were sitting outside, a huge crowd of people. They were all expected for Brother Branham to be there. It was announced he was going to be the speaker. There were thousands of people there. And Brother Branham was sitting outside waiting for him to call him in. Was it Brother Biscoll that was there with him? I don't remember which minister was with him. They went to the platform and told the people, "Brother Branham's not here. He had to go to a sick brother. He can't speak for you," and he was sitting outside. And the preacher that was with him said, "Go in there and expose that." Right? You're an eagle. Why are you letting that happen? Brother Branham said, "Oh, I could never do that. That might hurt that man's ministry." Didn't Jesus turn his... Who was he? He was the greatest one. He should have been able to stand up and say, "No, you're not doing that." But you see, he had to turn his back to the whip. Or else we would have not been saved. And Brother Branham, to be able to fulfill what God sent him here to do, there were times where he couldn't be that ripper with the beak. It was times when the Holy Spirit, and that's what I'm saying, you don't know. The best way to live is just daily follow the leadership of the Lord. And so no matter what you are, who you are, we know that there's a fivefold ministry, right? Mm-hmm. So we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Well, there's your four beasts again. Because if you look at the apostle, that's the lion of the tribe of Judah. The prophets and the evangelists are both underneath the eagle. They're high inspiration. That's why evangelists can go to somewhere and they can preach and everybody's like, "Man, he knows everything about us." Right? Because he's under high inspiration. He's not a prophet, but he's under high inspiration like a prophet. So he's an eagle. A pastor is the ox. He's the burden bearer. He's the guy he'll just work as long as he needs to because that's who he just keeps right on pushing. Right? Then you have the teacher who's the man. He's the intellective man. See those? And so my whole point is that how do we know how to operate these gifts? We don't. We're just led by the Spirit. And God fleshes out what it is we're called to do.
Right?
Right? And it'll fall into these gifts. And so here we are at the end time. And how do we know to be? We don't. We just follow the leadership and he's fleshing out flying eagles. Believe in a message that's given us a body change. Amen?
Amen.
We believe that. So no matter who you are, your minute, you may say, "Oh, I'm a great one." Well, Jesus was great. But it makes no difference how great you are. Whoever you are must be tamed by the Holy Spirit. Right? And God will use you in the great ways that he's created you to be. But even in that greatness, you can never act out except by his spirit leadership. Mm-hmm. Right? So there were times when Brother Branham was eagle, but there was times when he wasn't. There was times when he was a lamb. Mm-hmm. We know the story. He had that sickness that come upon him every 7 years from his childhood all the way up. And right close to the end of his ministry there. But a lot of you know, I won't take a lot of time to tell you, but he had a sickness that would come on him. His stomach was sour every 7 years. And there was a dream and a vision, and some things had happened, and so his mother had a dream, and there was six doves instead of seven, which is an incomplete number, I think it was, and different things. And then so he saw this vision early on. He'd seen where this squirrel jumped at him, and it went in a vision, okay? It went inside in his stomach, was tearing his stomach up. So we understand that the stomach problem he's having every 7 years was like a squirrel had jumped at him or whatever. And so he comes to a time in the end of his life there where he sees a vision, and that squirrel tried to jump at him again, but he missed. He missed. And he's like, I think I'm gonna be well. See, we think, oh, he's a prophet of God. He'll never have a sickness. He'll never have troubles. No, that's not it at all. Right. God is God, and you do have troubles.
Right.
But God's still working in your life. Mm-hmm. So he goes, something tells him, go up into the mountains. He goes up at Sabine Canyon. He's going down a trail. And I've been to these places, and I'll tell you about it a little bit, maybe if you want to hear it. But he's going there, and he comes around, and he looks, and there's that squirrel out there in the desert. Northeast of Tucson. A squirrel there in the desert, and it has jumped, and it hit a cactus, and the cactus stabbed it through, and it was laying there in a trail and dead. And Brother Brandon said he pressed it with his foot, and that was the squirrel in the vision that had jumped early and had caused him all that trouble. But then he had a vision and it missed. And now it's no longer going to give him trouble anymore. And he physically found it laying there on the trail. And the next day he felt led to go back. And he went back and was felt led to go a different way. And they call it Dove Cove, I think is what they call it. And he goes around this place, and there's a white dove standing there in the trail. He said, that seventh dove laying right there. The Lord tells him, you know, in the vision, his enemy is dead. He goes back the next day, and he feels led to go a different way. Keep in mind, being led. He goes a different way, and he goes, and I've been to this spot too. I got pictures I can show you. He goes to a place, and the Lord says, lay your hands on this big rock right here. So he lays his hands over it, and he says, what are you praying over your heart? And he stands back to look, and in that rock, in white quartz, is the word eagle. Now, I know this because I was there and I took pictures and I can show you this. That rock was a huge boulder, and the conservation people was going through there doing some work, and they bored a hole through this big rock, or holes, I don't know how many, and stuck some dynamite in there, and they blew it, and it split that in half because it's on a hillside, and you look down below it, the rest of it's laying down there, and you can see where the drill was. They blasted that sometime before he came there, but he's just being led, and the Lord says, stop and put your hands on this rock. He don't know what he just did it, and then he says, now what are you praying on? He looks down, and there is revealed, after they had blasted that away, because if they hadn't blasted it away, you would never know that was in the rock, but it's white and crystal, white, E-A-G-L-E, eagle. And he's standing there, and God says, what are you, and he looks. God confirmed him. Right? This dove, and it's being led by the Spirit. It led him there, and there he was. And I can show you this too. Canyon wall, there's a giant rock. Just looks like an eagle standing perched up or just looking down, just like that, looking right down. And I took pictures of it so you could see all of it in one thing. God confirming. But Brother Brandon, when he was telling about that experience, and he ended it by saying this. Dove leading eagle. See, no matter how powerful God wants you to be or has He gifted you, your gift, your life must be led by the dove. Right. Amen.
Amen.
We believe that. I'm telling you, as a minister of the gospel, that's the only sure way, amen, to walk with God, right, is to have Holy Spirit leadership in your life. How do you do that? Well, you just follow Him. Give Him time. I look at different situations in my life, and I can tell you that every major turn in my life was never something I came up with in a decision. I thought, well, I'm going to do this and do it. Never happened one time. And I could list them all out there, but I want, just to save time, But maybe we'll get an opportunity and I can show you that every time it was God doing it. And all I did was just step through what he provided.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. Just wait on the Lord and he opens doors. He makes it work for you.
Yeah.
But you have to just be attentive to him. And so he knows how to accomplish things and gets things done. And so our job is just to follow his leadership. And like I said, just ending there with that ninth verse, what good, what profit does a person have in what they've tried to labor in? There is none. It's only in what God leads you to do.
Right?
That's what lasts. How thankful we are. Amen. So let's let the musicians come now. Let's bow our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've shared out of your word this morning, that it just requires a relationship with you. Lord, that your spirit would just lead us and guide us. This whole plan of redemption can never unfold, Lord, without you doing it. And Lord, at us to get in interact with it and become partakers of it, it takes you, Lord. As we know that man has never looked for you, it's always you calling man. How do you call us, Lord? Well, you do it out of your word. You speak to our hearts. You begin to tell us in our heart. We begin to be convicted and know, Lord, I shouldn't be like I am. I know I should surrender to you. I know that this world I have to leave someday. Lord, see, that's what you do. You begin to speak to us in our hearts, and we hear things said, and we see things happen, and we hear the preacher say things, and we realize, oh, Lord, I should surrender to you. I pray, God, this morning that each of your people here today, Lord, that they understand that's where it starts and that's where it stays, is to just let you speak to us and lead us and guide us. I pray this morning, Lord, as we close in this service, that every person will make a commitment right now in their hearts to follow after you. Lord, if they don't know if these things are true, may they search the scriptures. May they come back. May they ask questions. May we have Bible studies. May whatever we have to do, may they come and diligently seek until they find out, yes, this is exactly what's happened through history. This is exactly what the Bible has laid out. And this is exactly where we are now. And this is exactly how they can have a relationship with you. We know, God, if it's your word and they take a step towards you on the basis of your word, God, you will meet them. And so I pray, God, this morning, each one will make that commitment and then follow through with it and give some portion of their life to you now to make room for you to step closer to them and confirm your word to them. Granted, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.